Welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trunner. After over 800 plus successful dental startups, I'm here to share everything I know about starting a profitable and purposeful dental practice with you.
Welcome back. If you are taking the leap to practice ownership, and one of the first things you're doing is evaluating practices to purchase, then check out my most recent episode where I talk through some of the biggest pitfalls that I see and the biggest mistakes that I see when it comes to purchasing a practice. Just because you buy a practice doesn't mean this is going to be successful. There needs to be an intentional plan of a transition strategy. There needs to be the proper review of all the financials and for you to really understand what you're actually buying. You need to understand what's the dynamic going to be with this new team. And more importantly, what you also need to do is, how do I make a practice that was somebody else's become my vision, become my practice, where this is the exact practice that you want? So check out that most recent episode. Today, we're going to dive into, I like to call this the 12-month blueprint prior to practice ownership. So the 12-month blueprint to practice ownership, because what we're going to talk about today is not the 12 months of once you start to build your practice, but you're an associate right now and you're thinking about practice ownership. And I'll say this, like if you're looking to do a startup or even an acquisition, it could be a 12 to 18 month process in order for you to become a practice owner. But even leading up that year as an associate, what do you need to be doing? What do you need to be thinking about? What are the elements that you need to get organized? Where do you need to put your place in the best position so that you're prepared, mentally prepared, financially prepared to then take the leap and jump into practice ownership? So grab your notepad and let's make this dream practice of yours a living and breathing reality. All right, folks. So you're an associate working 5 days a week. You know what? I've been thinking about practice ownership. What do I need to do today? What do I need to do now before I even say, hey, ideal practices, I'm ready to start a practice? There's a lot of things you need to actually get prepared for. So don't just wake up on Monday and go, all right, let's go do this. There needs to be some intentional planning. So today I'm going to talk about that blueprint for you to practice ownership. One of the first things I always do is gather with your eyes. Now, I have, over the years, over 2 decades of doing this, a lot of dentists come in and they go, man, I don't like where I'm at, or I don't like the environment that's here. So I would start to think about like where you have worked. If you worked in a corporate setting or a private practice setting, what are things that you like and dislike about that current environment? You might find a few things that you like, but you'll probably say there's a number of things that you dislike that will actually give you even more direction about what you like and dislike from the current practice, whether that's the physical space, maybe even the layout and the flow of the practice, how the team is treated, how patients are treated, how treatment planning is done, the systems, the protocols. So gather with like your eyes, gather with your mind and start thinking about like, what do I like and dislike about my current environment? Because you'll need to be able to form like kind of thinking about that, taking that information forward and saying, what is the vision for my practice? Now, when I talk about vision, a lot of people kind of think about like how big is my space? How many operatories? Some other things I want you to think about is, are you a specialist or multi-specialty practice? Are you going to be insurance driven? Are you thinking about out of network or mix, partnership or go solo? These are some like kind of like broad strokes of the brush that you want to think about. But more importantly, the things that we guide our clients through here at Ideal Practices is we start thinking about kind of the reverse engineering process, which is, who do you want to be within your community that you serve? How do you want to be known? Like think about like being intentional about like, what is my reputation as a practice owner? Maybe that reputation where you're working right now is not so great, not for you personally, but think about that. Even think about like, is there a legacy I'm going to leave behind? And I know like that's a lot to think about, but really start thinking about like long range. Where do I end up at practice ownership? Is this to fulfill something from a financial perspective? Is this something from a family perspective? Do you want to serve your community on a higher level? Do you want to do something philanthropic with your practice? So really start thinking about like big things from a vision perspective about who you're going to be. Now, you don't have to define all those today, but start to think about beyond the physical elements of the practice. Start thinking about, who are the patients that you love? When we guide our clients through the demographics, we just don't say, here are the ratios, they look good or they don't look so great. But really start thinking about like, who are some of the patients that you love to treat? Is there an age group that you connect well with? Is there a certain procedures that you like? Because if you purchase a practice or buy a practice, one of the first steps that you're going to do is identifying the marketplace that you want to be in. When it comes to like demographical elements and that patient element that you want to be able to track, you need to start formulate that now. That's why I think that being an associate is so valuable, because you're learning what you want to have and what you don't want to have. You're also going to learn who do you connect well with? Is it an older population? Do you like their clinical needs? Do you like kind of, you know, a middle population? Think about socioeconomic. Do you want to have a Medicaid type of practice serving lower to mid, lower income families and patients? Are you more attracted to higher end cases, higher end patients? They all come with their pros and cons and disadvantages and advantages. So start thinking about like who you want to treat. Are you going to be a family practice? Are you going to have more of a boutique type of practice, modern? Think about some of the technology elements that you need to have within your practice. One of the other things is this: review your employment agreement. Does it need a change? Do you need to take a different position? Because right now, non-competes are valid. Now, in certain states, they are not, like California, where non-competes are not enforceable. But generally speaking, in most every other state, non-competes are enforceable. So if you're thinking about going into a certain area, for example, or are you working currently in a marketplace where you actually want to be, that will be a challenge. Review your employment agreement. What kind of notice do you need to give if you want to change your schedule or when you want to quit? Is it an at-will agreement? What at-will agreement means is that you at any time can give notice without cause. Some employers have gotten a little bit more sophisticated and wise in the last few years where they leave out this clause. And if you ever want to hear about employment agreements, then you need to listen to my episode with Rob Montgomery, who's one of the greatest legal minds. He's an attorney in the dental industry. If you want to listen to even more granular elements in employment agreements, check out that episode. But I would say your employment agreement needs to be at will. Now, recently, I've seen some employment agreements where they're not, which basically means if you leave before the conclusion of that contract, if it was a one-year contract or two-year contract, you're technically in breach. So you really want to review this employment agreement. Know that, you know, employers, if you go into a marketplace and you're in a state where non-competes are enforceable, guess what? You can find out if they're going to enforce it or not. It's not a gamble that I would recommend taking, because even if you win, you will lose because of the time and probably the expense to go through that. In addition, any lender that's out there that has done this, or dental specific lender, is also going to validate your employment agreement, or at least from a non-compete perspective, because they're not going to lend $1 million to you if you're opening up in an area that's within your non-compete radius. They're not going to do it. They're going to flag that, and you're not going to have an approval. So the other thing about your employment agreement, does it need to change? Do you need to move? Do you need to take a different position someplace else? So start thinking about like, where are some of the areas that you think you want to be? Do those align with you on a personal level, a family level? How far do you want to be? So some demographical elements to think about, and really and make sure that you review that agreement so that you understand, okay, if I take the leap, what are my obligations to this employment agreement? If I go to this employer and say, hey, I need to work not 5 days, but less, what will happen? Well, you need to give notice at that stage. The dovetail off of that, I would say plan for time. One of the big things we tell, some of the biggest success stories that we've been a part of is this. Our clients that have the greatest success dedicate time to their practice ownership, whether it's a startup or an acquisition. You can't expect to work 5 days a week as an associate and then immediately like quit your job on Friday, or let's say work 5 days a week up till Friday, Monday say, okay, great, I'm a practice owner, because you won't have the planning to do that. So that doesn't mean like today, with if you're thinking about this, taking a leap in 12 months to starting the process of becoming a practice owner, that you need to do that, but you need to start planning for that. If you can find the ability of working part-time, maybe at a couple different positions, that actually is a really great advantage. You'll see a couple of different environments, number one. Number two is when you get to a point where you want to open your practice, let's say you're doing a startup and you're going to work in your startup 3 days a week and you want to continue to work a couple of days a week as an associate, that's going to be a lot easier to drop one part-time position than it would be maybe to take a five-day-a-week position that you're in and say, can I work 2 days a week? You might find an employer that says, yeah, no problem. I'd probably say, that doesn't work for their financial plan. Therefore, you're looking for a new position. So don't quit today. Don't go out there and say, bye, I listened to this podcast and Steven told me to quit my job. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying plan for time. You want to be able to dedicate. I always say, even if you can start having 1 day during the week, a Monday through Friday, where you don't work as an associate and you know you're going to be a practice owner, that 1 day a week will pay dividends to your future practice, because you're leaving your associate position to become a practice owner. So I understand income and things like that, but I would say start doing those elements. Income. All right. One of the big things is you want to be able to start focusing on some of your financials as well. Really basic elements. Number one would be liquidity. I would say You need to have at least 5 to 10% in liquidity. So non-retirement assets, that would be like checking, savings, money market, stocks, and things like that, that you can easily liquidate without a penalty. So non-retirement assets, IRAs and 401ks don't apply here because banks will want you to have 5 to 10% in liquidity. So how much does that mean? It could be anywhere between, I would say, 50 to 100,000. I know it's a broad range, but every bank is going to look at things different. Depends on the transaction that you're doing and the cash flow. So start focusing on how do you set aside those funds so that when you start to apply for lending in the next 12 months, that you're in a really, really good place. That will give you a leg up. That will be one of the requirements that the banks are going to look for and make sure you're in that place. If you're moving states, I just had a conversation with a client the other day, moving from one state to the next, obviously have your license within that state. I know that sounds like kind of a dumb thing, but some states are a little bit harder, take a little bit more time to do that. And in order to open up a practice in that state, obviously you need to be licensed and the banks are not going to approve requests or, well, they'll conditional approve a request until a point where you have your license in that state. So don't start getting into transactions and thinking, oh, I'll figure out what my license is and get to a point where, wow, I can't have funding because I don't have a license. Hey there, Startup Dentist Podcast listeners. It's Stephen Trutter here, taking a quick break from today's episode to share something special with you. If you're dreaming of owning your own dental practice, then you need to get your hands on our Startup Dentist book. This isn't just any book. It's a 200-plus page comprehensive guide that covers everything you need to know to start a successful dental practice. From picking the perfect location to designing a patient-friendly office to building a marketing plan that draws in your ideal patients, we've got you covered. This book is packed with insider tips and real-world strategies. Other big thing is this. If you have family members, if you're married, it's always better to have them on board. You know, when over 10 years ago, when I helped get Ideal Practices off the ground, it was a conversation with my wife, Megan. I think what I told her was, oh my gosh, I'm going to do this. We're going to launch this thing. It's going to be awesome. This is the thing I want to do. This is my passion. Okay, cool. Great. She was fully on board, but there was still the, hey, I'm leaving a golden parachute, you know, from an income perspective to do something that is a startup business. While I guide on startups and been doing it for 20 years, I've done startups myself. I'm living in a startup, or not anymore, but Ideal Practices was a startup at one point. So I knew what I had to do from a financial perspective, but also talking with my wife and saying, okay, great. There might be things that we need to change, you know, to get, you know, leaner and things like that for a period of time or building up this business. But it's a way easier process and you feel such a sense. I always love when significant others, spouses are on board with the journey to practice ownership. You have that support. You have the support. It gives you the freedom. I've seen where it doesn't work. Unfortunately, it becomes a challenge and there's a breakdown within that. Don't forget that you have a family, whether or not they're involved with the process, whether they're involved in your practice, they at least need to be on board with the idea. And it'll give you that mental space to dive into your practice. Now, one of the big things that I love to share is the methodology that really guides everything that we do in terms of our process. And we call it the three P's. And you probably have heard this before, but this is something I want you to really think through. And if you take anything away from this discussion, I always say, remember the three P's: practice, profits, and purpose. Anybody can probably find a practice. Now, you obviously need help, but anybody can just pick up a practice and buy it or start up a practice. All you need is A, find a practice, have a broker and an attorney and things like that. Life is good if you want to buy a practice. If you want to start up a practice, it's like, okay, well, you need a space, you need some chairs, and you can technically have a practice. But this is where a lot of people get misguided. And I think this is where a lot of people jump into practice ownership without a plan, because they go, all right, I'm going to call a bank and I'm going to call a real estate agent and we're going to build a practice. No. What you need to do is start thinking through these elements before. I talk about this in my book, The Startup Dentist. Anybody can just have a practice. You don't need me to do it. All you need to do is go out there and find space, technically. And what I see is, I discuss this in my book, and I'll say here, is I've seen this done so many times where so many people just focus on the opening without focusing on the elements that will actually make them profitable. So practice, we lead into profits. Profits, what I'm talking about is, building the business systems. Other things I would start to get more education on is, what are the current systems in your practice that you work at? Is there practice management software to like explore different options? There's a lot of different options that are out there in terms of the systems themselves. Financial guidelines. These are all things you develop. But I think if you don't focus on having systems and you only focus on the opening, that's where practices struggle. So I would start thinking about, like, as you're continuing to educate yourself, start looking at things like exploring, what are some marketing elements that are out there? What are the systems in the practice? How are things done within my environment? How is pay taken from, what are the financial guidelines in your current practice? How's pay taken from a patient? Is an insurance driven practice? So all these systems, and start gathering, like, well, how do you want things done in your practice? And start thinking about that will build to a profits perspective. The greatest success stories I've ever been a part of have purpose. So your third P here. I want you to take a step back for a moment and think about community. I know that might sound a little bit fluffy, but the clients that come through Ideal Practices, they all come with, I'm leaving my associate position because I want a freedom and control. Now, freedom can be a lot of different things to a lot of people. Maybe it's, I'm tired of building somebody else's vision. Freedom could be, I want to have the clinical freedom to do the things I want to do. I want to have the freedom to be able to have time with my family. Control is to control maybe things like my schedule, control when I want to take time off, control how I treat my team. Other thing that's a commonality is the bigger purpose of what they want to use this practice for. Yes, it could be obviously an income element. It could be driving success. But I think, is there a bigger purpose? Is there something you want to do to revolutionize things from a dental perspective? Are you simply saying, I want to create something in a community that I love, to treat the team the way that I want, to have the systems the way I want, to have the patient experience? Cool. Is there something philanthropic that you want to do? So many of our clients do this, and this is a part of what we call the give process, where we talk about how they do want to support their community beyond the walls of their practice. If that's something that you're passionate about, start thinking about, okay, what does that look like? Are the things that you love to do? Are the things you currently do right now? Before you take any steps, what I would say, before you start moving into and saying, I'm ready to do this, start to plan. Think about your vision. Think about your patients. Think about what you want to do, who you want to treat. Explore the current environment. What things do you like and dislike about the current environment? Start to plan out your financials. Remember, 5 to 10% of liquidity. Start the savings process right now. If you're stuck in between, like, oh man, I could refinance my student loans or not, I would say, number one, I'm not a financial advisor, but I'd certainly consult with them. But I would say, if you're thinking about practice ownership in the next year or so, I would say, keep everything status quo. Banks are looking at your cash flow on a monthly basis, not exactly what you owe on your student loans. Don't sacrifice paying down things like your student loans super fast if you sacrifice your ability to have liquid assets. They would much rather you have liquid assets and student loans than none of each. So liquid assets is key. Plan for your time. Is your current schedule going to allow for you to build your own practice? Because you can't work on a Saturday and Sunday to build your own practice. You're not going to be looking at spaces. You're not going to be looking at practices. You're not going to be planning out your systems to open up your own practice. So think about what that schedule is. And before you do that, start to analyze your employment agreement. Does my employment agreement restrict me from doing something in the next 12 months? Am I in the market where I want to be? So therefore, I probably need to move my associate position, quit your current one, to move somewhere else that's further away to be able to open up this particular area. And then lastly, I said is, don't just focus on the opening. Start thinking about how you want things done within your practice. What do you want to do within your community? There, then, now you're going to be doing it. Don't just step out and say, call a broker to go look for a practice. Don't just look at real estate and talk to a bank. Have these things planned out. Be very intentional so that in 12 months, you're going to be in a much better place financially. You're going to be in a better place to be able to take this leap and be able to build a dream practice of your own. If you want to get a copy of my book, you can go to www.thestartupdentistbook.com for tons of these topics. Coming up, here's where I'm going to head on my next episode. This is going to be awesome. You're married, and I'll just say this. I talked about this earlier about getting your family on board, and you're going to hear from a husband and wife team. So maybe your spouse didn't sign up for this, but for better or for worse, they're there. They're going to be with you. And you're going to hear from a practice owner and his wife about that journey. He's been open for about a year. I do want to have them share their journey together and how that dynamic worked really well. So check that out coming up here soon. That's a wrap today on the 12-month blueprint to practice ownership. Don't forget to check out the show notes for any and all links and resources we talked about today. Next time, we will be talking about the dynamic of how you and your spouse are going to navigate the waters of becoming practice owners. So I'll see you there.
As we wrap up this episode, take a moment to picture yourself a year from now. Are you still in your associateship? Or are you rocking it at your own dental practice, creating beautiful smiles and making a real difference? If that's the dream, it's time to chase it. Before we split, make sure to hit subscribe, drop a review, and give us your rating. It helps us keep bringing you the good stuff that you're into. Until we meet again, keep taking that next step towards your future practice. Here's to investing in your dreams and making them a reality.